What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
I'm feeling marvelous, Alex. Marvelous.
And down in the corner with the eye patch, assembling a team that would redefine cinema for over 11 years, it's your boy, Cisco Kid. You're a pirate. That's a pirate, not Nick Fury. Not Nick Fury, it's a pirate.
Shivering the timbers.
So, you know,
I thought we were doing pirates.
We're not doing pirates? it's not pirates? Oh, shit. Could you imagine if we did a whole month on Pirates of Caribbean movies?
Oh my God.
That would be fucking rough. Should we
release the Kraken?
I'd look like Tom Hanks in Castaway by the end of that shit.
Could you? No. But really think about this, though. Like, what we do to our listeners is we give them.
Hello, Poppy.
3 weeks of us talking about getting baked. And then the next thing is like, and now we're breaking down the Pirates of the Caribbean.
And now we're going to get a little rummy while we talk about Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. Actually, I'm not going to lie. That first movie fucking slaps, and I think the second one's pretty good too. But I digress. We talked a little bit about it about a week before we start changing the theme. Obviously, we got to spin up new art. We got to start coming up with the new concepts for the episodes. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, our fans were so lovely in flattering us for those like 5 stoner episodes. I really thought we should do something that was, you know, fun and something I knew that like kind of they could all really get behind. And I think they'd be really excited to hear us talk about it. And Steve, you floated this idea that I think is dead on. And I know Cisco's excited because this is right up his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Our theme this month is Marvel. We are going to be doing all MCU. Some comic book stuff, I'm sure, is going to come up. We're going to be doing the TV shows, the movies, all kinds of fun stuff. It's not just going to be Marvel news. It's not like it's going to, you guys know, the news is still going to be film news and news, but our theme is Marvel this month, and I'm really, really excited. How do you guys feel about this month's theme?
I'm stoked. I'm really excited because you know me, I've had quite the relationship with Marvel.
Oh boy,
the arc has been great.
Yeah, we really watched you come full circle, buddy.
Hey. You know?
You know the first movie that you know what the first movie you and I ever saw in the theater together, Steve, was?
No.
Winter Soldier.
Was it really?
The first movie you and I ever saw in the theater together was Captain America: Winter Soldier.
I loved that movie.
I don't know if you remember, but we went and we were in line and we went into the theater and it was so full that there were no seats for us. And you and I, we were buddies, but we weren't like movie buddies yet.
Right.
And like, I kind of looked at you and I was like, you kind of knew, like we had this movie lover connection. I was like, I'm not sitting in the front, dude.
Right.
I'll sit here for fucking 3 hours and wait to get a good seat. I don't fucking care. Yeah. I will sit on my ass right here and eat chicken tenders and wait 3 hours.
Yes.
Now this is obviously almost, that movie is almost like 5-6 years old now. Actually,
wait, was that when we went with Wong?
Yep.
And we went with Wong. Is this the chicken tendies and...
This is, so we went and you were like, man, yeah, dude. And you were like, man, we were like hungry and like AMC had just screwed up the whole day. And I was like, fuck it. Let's go get some, like at this time, this is when Chipotle wasn't giving everyone a coli. So we went and got some Chipotle and then we like brought it back, but you can't bring that in. And I looked right at the dude and I was like, you motherfucker. I'm just waiting in line. I'm not even like, I can't even eat it. And he's like, nah, man, no outside food or drink. I was so pissed. And this is the least cool way to get back at them. I then just bought $20 chicken tenders and ate those.
And curly fries.
Oh, but they were delicious. And that movie was fantastic. But yes, you have come full circle, Steve, in the within your love of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm excited. I'm really excited because I think this is the month where Cisco is really gonna get to, you know, like put on the gold medal and be the star of the show, because this is definitely Cisco's wheelhouse. Cisco, how are you feeling?
I'm pretty stoked, man. I'm going to do my best to live up to those expectations.
Well, I mean, there's really nothing else to do. This week, we thought we would just kind of get casual and have a conversation. So let's take it to a little conversation for this month's Marvel theme. Okay. It feels wrong to even talk through that intro because it's so good. Like, it needs to finish, but we got to stay on task, man. We got to stay on task. So before we get into Marvel Cinematic Universe, let's talk a little bit about everybody's first experience with the franchise of Marvel, the IP known as Marvel. Cisco, let's start with you. What's your first memory of Marvel entering your life?
Just Marvel in general, not MCU.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be MCU. Doesn't need to be Iron Man. It can literally be anything.
It's the comic books. I do remember collecting. I'm trying to think. So my most vivid memory is when the comic book boom happened in the early 90s. So like when X-Men number one by Jim Lee came out. And it was like Tom McFarlane had just started blowing up on Spider-Man. So that was right around the time that I started getting reintroduced to like actual collecting comic books. And the X-Men were big for me during that time. That's where my brain goes when I'm starting to think about Marvel. Because prior to that, I mean, Batman and Superman were like the biggest comic booky kind of nerdy things that would be things that I loved. There was no Marvel anything prior to that, like really bad Fantastic Four and bad Captain America, I guess, that I didn't even find out about until later. I think that's going to be my answer. The X-Men comic books from the early 90s by Jim Lee and Chris Claremont.
Amazing. Steve, what about you?
My first introduction to Marvel was a combination of things. It was, I believe, like 1991, 92. It was two major things. It was the Toy Biz line of the Uncanny X-Men figures. And I remember I got Wolverine, and this was Wolverine in his red and yellow, or like mustard yellow, action figure, where his like little... His little claws would come, you could flick them out. But it was that toy line combined with the like 1991 like Series 2 Marvel trading cards that when you had a complete page, it made a full like cover or like scene.
Yeah, they had a lot of metallic and holographic cards, and it was like collectible Marvel trading cards. Yep.
And I got really deep into collecting that entire run. And so it was that followed by the X-Men cartoon on Fox, followed by the Uncanny X-Men video game on Genesis. Those were my sort of culmination of Marvel, of what I was able to consume then.
Game that you're talking about is the arcade box game that was just transported over for Genesis, right?
I believe so. Yeah. I just remember players. Like always having, yes, but I just always have an issue on the level with the damn birds and the trees.
But the Genesis one, at least you had unlimited lives.
Right.
You didn't have to just keep pumping quarters into that thing.
Alex, what about you?
So, two very specific things come to mind. I don't know why all of my connections are 99% promotional food based. Every time we do this first thing, it's always promotional food based. I think Steve's going to know what I'm going to say. It was the X-Men animated series did a promotion with Pizza Hut. And when you got a large pepperoni stuffed crust pizza, when they had just announced stuffed crust pizza, they would send you a VHS of the pilot of the X-Men animated series. It had the pilot and like two other episodes after it. And
really?
Yeah. And I remember my parents, they worked a lot when I was a kid. So they would always try to make the weekends kind of special because I didn't spend any time with them on the weekdays. Like Monday through Friday, they worked. I had a babysitter or a nanny. They were home at like 8 o'clock, but by then they're either still working or they're fucking tired. And it's like time to go to bed. And I'm just like doody doo upstairs with my toys, like not neglected, not like I wasn't like bummed about it or whatever, but like they would try to make Fridays special, which is probably where I really developed a love for movies, because that's the first right on Friday. New movies coming out. We know our son loves movies. It's movie time. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad said, we're going to order Pizza Hut and you get an X-Men video with it. And you're going to like X-Men. You're going to like this, Alex. Like, and I had no idea what it was. And then it came. And I remember watching that X-Men animated series pilot that night while eating the stuffed crust pizza. And I was instantly fucking sold on it. I loved X-Men after that. And after that, I got into those Marvel cards because of that. So I would go to this baseball card shop where this fucking scalper would fucking sell. He'd open all the packs, you know what I mean? And then he'd put all the nice ones up for a ton of fucking money. And then you could buy the shit for like 50 cents. And I bought all the shit. The only ever Marvel toy I've ever owned when I was a kid was I had that line of X-Men that you're talking about, Steve, but I had the Cyclops because Cyclops was my favorite because when you pushed his little button on his back, his eyes,
he was in his blue and white outfit, right?
No, it was blue and yellow. It was like the straight up, like,
oh, he had his hair. It wasn't the one that was
his
covered.
Hair. Yeah. He had the sick haircut. Like, trust me, the I crazy thought
flat top.
Oh dude. It wasn't even like a flat top. It was almost like Luke Perry
that,
hair.
That cool, like bandolero type thing.
You know what I'm talking about? He had sexy hair. Like Cyclops in the animated series had the sexiest hair. And I was just like, oh God, I have glasses. I want to be Cyclops, man. And, that was kind of my first introduction to Marvel. That was my first introduction.
Is Gambit the Boba Fett of X-Men?
No. Gambit's actually cooler than Boba Fett, but I don't know. Maybe that's a good comparison. I think Gambit's sort of underrated.
I just remember when he came out in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then stoked.
I was stoked on this guy, and then I remember I bought that toy, the Toy Biz version of him, and I just thought that's one of those, like, it was such a cool design the way they drew him, and it was very early 90s, but
yeah. Well, I think part of that is because he was so popular in the comic books that people were anticipating his appearance in the cartoon for a long time. He was like insanely popular in the comic books. It was like one of those things where his first appearance was always going for a lot in the aftermarket, you know, that comic book where it's like not even the first official appearance where he's like in the full issue. It's like the teaser where he just kind of appears and he's on like the cover. So, you know, that I think boosted his popularity. Then once he popped up on the cartoon, it was very popular. And then he sort of had a lull, but then a resurgence when the Street Fighter game came out. Because it was the Capcom versus Street Fighter,
Marvel versus Capcom, I thought.
Yes. I'm trying to remember. It was Marvel. No, but this was pre-Marvel versus Capcom. So pre-Marvel versus Capcom, there was the X-Men versus Street Fighter game.
Yeah.
So X-Men versus Street Fighter came first, and he was in that game, and he was very good in that game. So it was like, dude, if you're good with Gambit, like he's legit. And that was another kind of boost in popularity, but then it kind of just fell off. And then he just kind of became this sort of silly, Cajun stereotype character that was like, his powers weren't as cool as you thought they were. Right. So I don't know where he stands in the comic books now. I haven't read the X-Men comic books in a long time. I don't know if he's still around or what, but, he's definitely not as cool as he once was.
So let's kind of do our questionnaire as a squad here.
Okay.
Right. So let's start. We'll start with Cisco. Cisco, what is your, and this, I know this is going to be really hard because this is not like Star Wars. There's not nine of these movies. There's like, yeah, now there's like fucking 30 of these fucking things. And this is not just MCU for right now. They can be any Marvel brand movie. So if it's Spider-Man 2, it can be that. After this episode, it will be exclusively MCU. But for now, for the sake of this journey through our Marvel experience, Cisco, what is your favorite Marvel movie?
Oh my God.
I know, man. It's hard.
Torturous. I'm just going to go with my first answer, and I think it's the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Why?
It just kind of changed the game.
Agreed.
For the Marvel movies, and I think for superhero movies in general, it really kind of just combined this really irreverent humor with the sort of like super heroics, and it still had a lot of heart and really kooky characters, and took characters that were very obscure and turned them into a mainstream thing. All of the performances are really good. The special effects are really good, and directing, everything, it's just hitting on all cylinders. There's not a weak thing in that entire movie for me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's that.
All right.
Today it's Guardians of the
Galaxy. Today it's tomorrow, Guardians. It's going to change the next episode.
Whatever, Endgame or something.
All right. Steve?
Well,
what is your favorite Marvel movie?
I'm struggling because, like, part of me wants to do, like, when I hear that and want to do something that's not MCU. I don't know why.
Really?
It's weird. I have my favorite MCU movie or my favorite Marvel movie. I don't know. I don't know what to pick here.
What would it be that's not MCU? I'm curious. Like X-Men 2?
No, God, no. That's
one. Spider-Man 2?
Two comic book movies I've never understood the hype on. And I'm not trying to be contrarian there, because I like the first installments in both of those. I would probably have to say Guardians if I had to really pick in terms of a complete, like, it's between Guardians and Ragnarok for me.
Yeah.
Right now I'm more inclined to go push play on Ragnarok.
Great. So in your chemistry right now is Ragnarok.
Right.
So I think for me, man, this is so tough.
I want to also go Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier's fucking good.
Like, it's so
good. It's hard. I think this is a cop out, but I think my answer is probably Endgame because it's just the penultimate Marvel movie. It's this massive team up and you just can't, I know it's all fighting. There's fucking nothing. There's not a lot else going on besides kick ass Marvel action, but just like, man, I don't know if I've ever had maybe The Force Awakens. Maybe I don't know that I've ever been in a theater that was that fucking electric in my life. That was just like, holy shit. I'm like Cisco. I see every Marvel movie with my buddy, Brian Wong. I see everyone first night with him. It's like a tradition. He's a huge Marvel buff. And we watched that movie and I said, I can't fucking believe what I just watched. It absolutely melted my fucking brain. And I gotta go Endgame. So I'm going Endgame right now, but I'll tell you what, Guardians is always in the conversation. Ragnarok's in the conversation. But yeah, I gotta go Endgame. All right. So this might be a little easier for everybody. What is your least favorite Marvel movie? Cisco?
Iron Man 2. Yep.
Is that a product of the fact that it couldn't possibly live up to Iron Man? Or do you really just, that movie's just not for you?
Mickey Rourke bothers me so much in that movie. It really is. And
I want my bird. Give me my bird.
Oh God, it's so bad.
And oh, the power of the Oscar win, right?
Whiplash is just a really bad character, I think. Like, it's, he's not interesting. And he's not as, like, tough as he should be.
I'm trying to remember, like, because I know more of the behind the scenes on that one, but just, I forget what that one is about and what does that one do to, like, set up the universe that would.
The only good thing that happens in that movie, and I will, to answer your question, well, Black Widow is part of it, but his discovery of palladium is really interesting and cool. So, like, discovering and creating palladium was awesome. That whole thing where he's dying, you know, that's a big thing at the beginning of that movie where he's dying from the poisoning from the,
yeah, he's drinking those green juices.
Yeah. From the arc reactor. So he's got this like poison happening and he's kind of like writing things off and like getting ready to die. He's like giving everything away until he kind of figures out palladium. That part is all the Tony Stark stuff is cool and interesting, except for the, the weird bleach tipped hair is so odd. It's just so odd. But
there's some growing pains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Iron Man 2 is certainly the awkward teenage phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. It's the terrible twos. Like they didn't. And they even didn't that being quite said, nail it.
Still not. Is none of them are bad in my
no.
opinion. And so that's just the one I don't really like the most. And I think in large part, it has to do with Mickey Rourke. And I also don't like that. I think that they kind of wasted Justin Hammer. You know, I think that.
Yes.
Sam Rockwell.
I think that Sam Rockwell is such a good actor and such a really interesting character. And they never went back to him. And I feel like that's a wasted opportunity. Like, I feel like we need to get him back into the universe somehow because Sam Rockwell is just so good.
Totally. Steve, what is your least favorite Marvel movie?
Probably Thor Dark World.
Same. Same. No question. Thor Dark World.
I don't know that I finished it. I know I fell asleep watching it in the movie theaters with my friend Sean, and then he was so pissed I like snored through the whole thing.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, because you are a snorer, my friend.
I went
friend.
To the Dark World, man. I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, dude, you were in the Dark World snoring it up.
I gotta rewatch Dark World again because I actually remember liking Dark World better than I liked the first Thor.
Originally,
yeah, that was my original. My original response was always like, I was never really into the original Thor, and then when I saw Thor Dark World, I was like, well, at least I like this better than the first one. But then I recently rewatched Thor, and I liked it better on this second rewatch. So I gotta give Thor Dark World another shot and see where I land on that one.
I gotta tell you, Thor is like the old days of TV, where like the first season, but you knew they were gonna do a second season. And it sort of allowed them to kind of find themselves and find the character. I think it's pretty amazing that in the third one. Like even I mean, and granted, a lot of that has to do with the building of him, his character in the Avengers movies. But
a lot of it is like, Avengers. They found out how he interacts with everybody, and they're like, "Oh, that's the movie."
Yeah, they figured out how to like grow because those first two movies were kind of.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say was that I think that a big part of that has to do with Loki. So Loki is such an integral part of making those movies good. And so when Loki's a big part of it, then it's more interesting.
Yeah. I would also kind of piggyback on currently both of your examples of your favorite Marvel movie currently in your chemistry is Thor Ragnarok in a way is kind of a direct response to the success of Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. They went, oh, Marvel's funny. And they kind of like, it was already funny, but it was like it was action comedy,
right?
You know, but Guardians is a straight up comedy. And I think they went, oh, that's what Thor is. It's like Flash Gordon, campy comedy. That's what we're going to kind of do, that kind of a thing. Like almost if a Superbad and He-Man had a baby, or like, like an Apatow version of He-Man. Like it's very, or it really, you know what it is? It's if Taika did He-Man. Is what it is. Like
it's interesting because you know, there are moments where, especially in the first Thor, where Chris Hemsworth is really funny. You know, like, you know, that he's got some, it's not as pronounced as he as funny as he gets in, obviously, in Ragnarok and then beyond. But, you know, there are some really funny moments in Thor that I was like, oh, he was always kind of funny.
Like, yeah.
I think maybe they just didn't realize it until, Avengers, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like there was Hulk. There was like a, yeah, there was like a clear moment where they realized, oh, Thor is super funny, but they had already started production on Dark World. And like, oh, well, this isn't very funny.
Yeah.
And then they clearly, they got into the, Age of Ultron, and he was funny again, and they lost a lot of that Thor storyline from Age of Ultron, apparently, and then they really landed on their Thor in Ragnarok. And that kind of brings me to favorite Marvel characters. We'll start with Steve this time, I'm just curious. Steve, who is your favorite Marvel character?
Tony Stark in Iron Man 1.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I have two answers. My favorite Marvel character is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my favorite MCU character is Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark.
Amazing.
Yeah.
My favorite Marvel character is Spider-Man, and it's like not even close. Like, I couldn't even give you a second option. Like, it's for sure Spider-Man. I just have always liked Peter Parker. I kind of look like Peter Parker. So, you know, yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where I really do believe that superheroes, maybe more so than any pop culture sort of like, I guess, narrative franchises or whatever this, I'm really stumbling through this, but like, they more so than any other character, seeing yourself within that character is super important.
Oh yeah.
And Peter Parker is just like, I mean, how could you not? Like, if you're a nerdy kid with glasses and you look at Peter Parker and you're like, oh man, like if I just had spider powers, you know, I could do all this amazing stuff. So Spider-Man, I'm right there with you, Cisco. Spider-Man is really good. I don't get me wrong. I love Robert Downey Jr.'s Spider-Man, but I mean his Iron Man. But when Tom Holland came in as Spider-Man, I didn't realize how badly I wanted Spider-Man in the MCU. Yeah. And once he arrived, I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a critical component missing. And I can't wait for all of the new components that are going to be coming in. Mm-hmm. So instead of asking if you could have any job in the Marvel Universe, Cisco, if you could have any new IP enter the MCU from Marvel, what would you want it to be?
Well, it's coming. It's Moon Knight.
Moon Knight? Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Why Moon Knight? I know nothing about Moon Knight. What is it about Moon Knight?
It's hard to describe. It really all kind of revolves around nostalgia. So Moon Knight was just a character that I remember thinking looked really cool back when I was just buying random comics. And then he's never been a very popular one, and he's not even really close to like my favorite Marvel character or anything, but he's just really interesting when done well. And his look is really cool. Like, you know, imagine the idea of being a sort of like Batman analog, right? Like being a sort of hero of the night, but your costume being all bright white. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be able to do that, or like, why would you do that? But that's what his costume is. It's all white, head to toe, and he throws these crescent moon shaped like batarangs kind of things, or like, you know,
boomerangs,
yeah, whatever. He's like a soldier of fortune guy. He also suffers from like multiple personality disorder. That was something they threw in later on. And so there's all these interesting sort of things that they can do with it. And I'm stoked to see Oscar Isaac as him. I think it's going to be really interesting. So I'm so curious how they're going to end up pulling that off. And I have a lot of faith in what they're going to do.
And now it's not a movie though. It's a TV show. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I thought it was a movie, but maybe it is a show.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. For some reason, I thought it was a Disney Plus thing, but I could totally be wrong.
Do not
quote me on that. Cause that I just thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Like they got Oscar Isaac to do a 10 part or a 6 part fucking mini series. Like that's super fucking interesting. But now that we're talking about it, I'm like, no, it's gotta be a movie, right? It's fucking Oscar Isaac. Like they're
if they did do a show, I think it could be really interesting because then that just gives you more time to sort of like dive in deep with some of the nuances, which can be pretty cool. So either way, I'm so in.
All right, Steve-O, if you could have any Marvel franchise that you haven't had enter the MCU, what would you want?
God, I don't know. Because I never went deep in the comics. I know this doesn't really answer your question, but I'd love for them to get Fantastic Four right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's a slam dunk. I don't understand why they just haven't been able to get it right.
Yep.
Sometimes when it's easy, it's tough, you know? Sometimes when it's a slam dunk, you overthink it.
I think that's a big thing is that I don't think Fantastic Four is easy.
Interesting. Why, Cisco? You know much more about it than I do, so I'm just curious.
I think the big problem with the Fantastic Four IP is that they're kind of boring. I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, but you know what? To be honest with you, I kind of felt the same way about Captain America too, and Iron Man.
Yeah,
yeah. Those things, those and Thor too. Like all of those comic books are like my least favorite comic books going into like before the MCU was a thing. Fantastic Four has some bright spots when it's been written by certain people and written well. I think that there are some things that are interesting. I think Doom is kind of an interesting character, but I also think that it can very easily fall into like the trappings of this sort of like boring space adventure that doesn't
superhero
really go
movies.
Anywhere.
It can very much become a superhero movie. It's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously I have nothing but faith in Feige. So I think Feige can get that right. No questions asked. But I don't think it's as easy as like just being like, hey, the Fantastic Four, they're super easy to get right. Like I think they are kind of challenging because they're kind of vanilla, you know?
Okay.
Totally.
The other one real quick, only because another character that it was so big when I was a kid in the early 90s was Cable. And I know we got Josh Brolin already in Deadpool, but I would totally be down for the sort of time traveling X-Force Cable movie.
Yeah.
Mine, without question, is I want to see the X-Men get into the MCU. Mm-hmm. I just want, like,
to connect, or do you want it to be new?
I want it to be fully new. I do not want it to connect to Fox. I want them to start fully over with X-Men. I want those fuckers in their fucking blue and yellow leotards. I want them looking like straight 90s animated X-Men. I want a new Wolverine. I want a new Cyclops. I want all these like X-Men characters because I just like how think about the end of Endgame. Now swap it with fucking X-Men. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That would be so sick. Like Magneto and his whole squad squaring off against the X-Men. Yeah. Oh man. Like of the MCU quality, like, oh God,
who plays Wolverine?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. That's so hard.
I'm going to say Taron Egerton.
Interesting.
I think he could be good.
He could be pretty good. I'm trying to think of who would be a good Cyclops too. I was going to say Andrew Garfield would have been a good Cyclops, but he played Spider-Man.
So
I was going to say,
hey man, that didn't stop Chris Evans.
That's true.
I was going to say homie from Baby Driver.
Ansel Elgort.
Yeah.
He'd be a good Cyclops. He could definitely pull off Cyclops.
He's got that kind of like Boy Scouty.
Yeah. Wolverine's the hard one because Wolverine is kind of like Hugh Jackman has kind of become Christopher Reeves.
yeah,
to that role. Like, he's kind of like, you can't really see Wolverine now without seeing Hugh Jackman. Like, I'm trying to think if there's any kind of like stars in the last couple of, like, you know who would be a pretty good Cyclops dude? Fucking, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm spacing on his name. John Hoey would kill me. Solo.
Alden.
Alden Ehrenreich would be a great...
He kind of looks like James Marsden.
I know. He'd be a really good Cyclops. He'd actually be a really good Cyclops. You know who might be a fun Wolverine? Is actually the guy who's playing Candyman, who played Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
He's kind of got a Wolverine vibe to me. Because Wolverine is kind of like lumberjacky, you know? He's kind of got a little bit of that, like, just got done chopping down a tree. And now he's like, now I'm a superhero.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just because of the first X-Men movie that took so much of it took place in the snow and Hugh Jackman had a flannel. But I don't know.
I was going to say Gosling.
Gosling would be really good. Is he too pretty though? He could play
Cyclops.
I think he could play dirty because of Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah, dude. A Gosling actually would be a cool Wolverine. Like a really like mean Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like not.
That's why I can't remember if we talked about this, but I really, really wanted him to be Bruce Wayne in the new Batman movie because he can play both sides. He can play the sort of like millionaire debonair guy, but then also dark. Dark.
It's funny because we just watched Crazy Stupid Thing. What is that movie he did with Steve Carell a while ago and Emma Stone?
Uh-huh. Crazy Stupid Thing.
And I thought to myself, I was like, wow, he's done the romantic comedy. He does the indies. He does the thing. But like he has not done like a superhero movie.
Maybe he doesn't want to, which fair enough.
Yeah. Could you imagine though, if they announced him as Wolverine, dude, like people would flip. People would flip out. You know who actually like a little too old now, but Brad Pitt probably could have been a cool Wolverine too.
Yep.
Knowing and just kind of how grizzled he kind of became. He could have been a really cool Wolverine. Okay.
Do you remember who they wanted for Wolverine back in the day?
Yeah, and he couldn't do it because of Charlie's
Angels. No. Wait, who?
The English Dominic he was supposed to, it's very similar to Elizabeth.
No, this is pre that even.
Oh, I know. It's Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. The guy
played Smee and Hook.
Yeah. And Roger Rabbit.
And it was also, I think there was even the rumor of Danny DeVito being Wolverine. Because everyone was really stuck
on how tiny he is in the comics. He's got to be a tiny little Wolverine fella. Let's see. So we did who we would want in. That was kind of like who we would want for a job. Is there a line of dialogue from a Marvel movie that sticks out to you, Cisco, where you're like, oh man, it just every time gets me.
I love you 3000 kills me.
I love you 3000.
Yeah. But that's all just like chemistry for Stacy and I.
100%. You like that. It just hit you at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, you guys know the story about like us watching it while she was like on the verge of giving birth.
Yeah.
And that's how we came up with Tony's name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. What about you, Steve? Is there a line of dialogue that just sticks out?
Not for me, other than the typical, the Spider-Man Uncle Ben saying, like,
oh yeah,
you know, with great power comes great responsibility. That's the main, like, that's the only one I can really think of.
I'm going to do a cop out, man. Pretty much anytime Drax opens his fucking mouth is so like quotable.
You can't see me. I'm invisible right now.
I would use my reflexes. You would never hit me. I would use my reflexes. Like it's so
nothing blunt. Goes over my head.
Yeah, nothing goes over my head. I would use my reflexes. There's a great Drax line. Oh man, when he yells my nipples in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, when the little thing goes over his chest, and obviously like,
I love when he's like telling Mantis how ugly and like terrible she is.
I'm sorry. The thought of us being together physically is making me physically ill. oh my gosh. Like, it really is like Drax is one of those characters. I'm just like, man, so funny.
Yeah.
Start to finish. Okay. Steve,
I also like on your left.
Oh, in Endgame when they're like on your left and he looks
the,
like back.
tying it together
yes. though. I mean, it's pretty hard to not love I Could Do This All Day.
I Could Do This All Day, yeah.
I Could Do This All Day. Obviously, I Am Iron Man.
I do love when they kind of like make fun of that in Endgame, though, where he's just like, I Could Do This All Day. He's like, I know.
Yeah.
When he's fighting himself.
Yeah. He's like, I could do this all day. And he goes, I know. Man, like, as we're going through it, you know, and we'll start to wrap this up here, but like when I think about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like it's kind of become comfort food for me. Do you feel that way, Cisco?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of my go-to now. I got nothing to watch. I'm watching a Marvel movie.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
In the way that my dad would watch old James Bond when I was a kid, that's kind of what Marvel has become for me. Yeah. Steve, as you've kind of had your journey, like, do you find yourself visiting Marvel more, or are you still kind of like, are you a one and done with your Marvel movie kind of guy still?
No, I'm definitely, I definitely do what I do with other movies like Lord of the Rings and stuff that like I don't understand why I don't get. I definitely do that every year where I go back and I rewatch quite a bit of them, but I have my ones that I do like to put on, which I love to put on Winter Soldier. I actually really like to put on Ant-Man late at night.
Oh, Ant-Man's a great like doing the dishes movie.
Yeah,
great.
You know, Ragnarok. So I have my ones that I like to watch. Guardians is probably the one I watch the most. But I've really, really, really come to love what they're doing on the TV side. Like, I really love what they did with Wanda. And I just finished Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And, dude, I really enjoyed that series. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to do Marvel this month was because I'm sort of in this thing where I was really into that series and it ending, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and watch some. And so,
Alex, did you finish it?
I did. Oh yeah. Yeah. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as Wanda, but that's not because it wasn't good. Again, it's like a chemistry thing. Yeah. It just, there are three shows that were happening kind of congruently. And I know two of them are like really dumb and not at the level of Falcon Winter Soldier, but I'm really liking the John Stamos basketball show.
Dude, Big Shot's awesome.
Big Shot. It's really fun and very inspirational Disney sports bait. Like, it's great.
It is.
And then I can't help it. I don't know why, man, but every fucking Thursday at midnight, I gotta watch Mighty Ducks Game Changers. I would always go to that over Bucky, and it's weird because Bucky's so much better than that. It's not, there's not even a comparison, but for some reason I just was really in a Mighty Ducks mood. But as when I wrapped up the last episode of Winter Soldier, I turned on Civil War and I was like, oh man, Marvel just slaps, dude. That's another one we didn't even mention here. Civil War is an incredible.
No, that's
incredible.
A good one. You know what it is for me with this show, with Falcon the Winter Soldier is I've been working out and I get on the treadmill and that's one of my shows. Like, I get really excited when I have a show that's like 40 to an hour long because it takes my mind off staring at the,
no matter what, the you're thing, getting 45 right? minutes.
I know that I'm like, I know, and I don't have to stare at the clock counting the seconds and the calories go by. And there's something about being on the treadmill at a good pace and hearing this.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, it makes me want to go to the treadmill right now. All of a sudden, my posture is like straight up. My shoulders are back. My chest is up. And all of a sudden, I've got like a strut, like I'm wearing cap suit or I'm the Rock or something. And it gets me going. And then you got the Winter Soldier theme music when that kicks in. about like 5 to 7 minutes in. And then it's like the episode ends, but I don't stop because the credit music, like I feel like I'm like in the Avengers on a treadmill.
Totally. Totally.
I was going to say, just in regards to Falcon Winter Soldier, I also enjoyed the show a lot. It is interesting because I felt like it ended so much stronger than WandaVision.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. It kind of was the reverse.
Yes.
For me. Like a Wanda started super strong and then kind of fell into like, okay, that's what's going on here. And this was the opposite. I was like, man, it really, like once it really kind of fell into the themes and like what the show is about, like is America ready for a Black Captain America? Like once it really kind of landed in that, I was like, oh man, I'm in.
It was the last two episodes for me were just like,
yeah,
they got it perfectly. Like the rest of the rest of the season was just kind of like slowly getting there. And I was just kind of like, you guys are not quite getting it. And then those last two episodes, I was like, those are perfection. And it felt sort of the opposite about WandaVision. It's like, especially the last episode, I was just kind of like, that was an ending.
Those two shows, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier is a much more, for me personally, I had a much more complete journey with it. But both of those shows and what they accomplished in sort of setting the new pieces on the board in the sort of mystical realm and the boots on the ground realm.
Yeah.
I think are great for just whatever they're doing in this next phase.
You know, there's very few, you know, there's something really special that happens. And when creative storytelling kind of starts to transcend even what it is. And that's kind of what I feel is happening with Marvel. Harry Potter did it, you know, like Harry Potter had, like, there's nothing else like Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else like Star Wars. You know, there's not a lot like Lord of the Rings, but there's nothing like the MCU, man. It just, like, hearing it now, I think of, like, just hearing the music, I go, oh, man, Avengers Campus, can't wait. Like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm going to be able to be in Marvel Land. Like, it's become fused to movie going for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost hard for me to not say what move, like of all the movies coming out, what do you have to see in the theater? I'm like, the fucking Marvel movie. I have to see it in the theater. It's just so, it's like an experience. There's this collective energy every time because everyone's like, are they gonna do it again? Like, right? It's like, it's kind of like watching the fucking Babe Ruth Yankees. The movie version, you're like, are they gonna fucking win a chance? Like, everyone's kind of looking around like, are they gonna do it again? Right? They can't. This one's gotta suck, right? Nope. Doesn't suck. Even the ones that are just okay don't suck.
Right.
You know, and that's, it's so impressive.
And that's true of the shows, even.
You know? Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck, man. It's like, it's almost like a crime that Kevin Feige doesn't have an Oscar. Yeah. For just like, they should just say, fuck it. We decided, Kevin Feige, come pick up your Oscar. Cause the only reason any of these other movies even get like have a place to be seen is because your franchise is keeping the industry afloat. Like them and Fast and Furious, like those two franchises are just keeping, and Star Wars are keeping everything afloat. Yep. And you got to give it respect, man. I know. And that's why, like, I get so, and that's why a lot of people get frustrated at the, like, yeah, but everything's all superhero movies. And it's like, well, if you can do something better, go do it.
So is Scorsese going to do a Marvel movie or a Fast and the Furious movie first? Which one?
Probably not Marvel.
What are you talking about? I don't know. Like, watch after what Chloe does and how she was able to use practical things. He's gonna be like, oh, I can join it now. You're shooting practical?
To be honest with you, I know that Kevin Feige wouldn't be offended, but I don't think Kevin Feige would hire him.
No.
Because of what he's said about Marvel. He'd be like, why am I gonna bring in a guy that's literally said that my movies are theme park rides? Like, you know,
really quickly before we wrap up, Moon Knight is a series, 6 episodes.
Okay.
Disney Plus.
Oscar Isaac.
And if I was going to bring it, yeah, Oscar Isaac. And if I was going to bring in any filmmaker to do anything, I would bring in Quentin Tarantino to do a Disney Plus show or a MCU TV show.
Interesting. Like some, almost like something in the Deadpool line. That's like sort of like really just quintessentially Quentin.
I would let him choose whatever he wants to do. But if it's like Nick Fury in the Howling Commandos or, I think that could be really interesting. Like a Nick Fury sort of like spy thing. Or, you know, there's just, there's a lot of like something that just deals with Sharon as the power broker kind of thing. You know what I mean? On Madripoor.
For
like
sure. Doing
some crime shit. That could be cool. Yeah, whatever, dude. Whatever he wants to do. If he wants to do Marvel thing, I'd be like, hey, Quentin Tarantino, you want to pick any Marvel character you want to do anything with? And you have at it.
I'd be down for him to do Kingpin.
Yeah, dude.
That'd be cool.
Bring back Vincent D'Onofrio. That'd be awesome.
I would love it if Edgar and Feige could squash that Ant-Man beef and let Edgar come in and do like any number of fun
movie.
Because I think like, Edgar Wright would make an amazing Marvel movie.
There are these what are they? They're like not the Young Avengers, but there's like this team of young superheroes that like they're kind of goofy and silly and handled right. I think they could be interesting, like with an Edgar Wright slant to them.
For sure. For sure. I think there's a lot of honestly, you know, who would kind of be a fun guy to bring in would be David Fincher.
Sure.
Like what would David Fincher do in the MCU? Punisher. Like punish dude. Oh my shit. God. David Fincher's Punisher.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Cisco, we may have just fucking like, you may have just fucking blown my mind. David Fincher's Punisher.
Did you ever watch the Punisher movie with Punisher Warzone?
No. Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah.
It's hard to say it's good, but it's an experience.
Lexi Alexander, who did Green Street.
Lexi Hooligans, Alexander.
She yep. directed that one.
It's real nutty.
Is it Ray Winstone? Who's the guy?
It's not Ray Winstone. It's the dude who plays Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson. I knew it was a Ray.
Yeah, Ray Stevenson. And then you know who the villain is? Jigsaw. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Is that dude from The Wire. The main cop from The
Dominic
Wire.
Dominic West.
Yeah. If you're ever like just curious, Alex, I'd be like, just throw it on because it's real. It's pretty crazy and like violent.
See, right. But that's a character I've always like in a weird way liked, but I just
feel he's got
like,
a great look. But, he's got a great design.
But he's also one of those characters in the early 90s. I just remember being on everything. But at the same time, I'm going, I feel like his character would be problematic in the 2021
Swift
test.
But you know what, though? That would be the great thing is that like addressing that the problematicness, problematicity of that character in like the view of like today's lens, I think could be really interesting. You know, they actually did a whole thing. It wasn't like a whole series or anything, but there's like a couple of pages in one of his comic books that's gone viral in the last like 4 years where it's like, he's talking to, I think it's like a cop or a couple of cops, and they're just like, yeah, we really like, you know, what you're doing. And he's just like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm like the antithesis of what you guys should be about. Basically being like, you guys should not be idolizing me. I'm a criminal. I'm a vigilante. I'm mentally ill. Like, I'm not a hero.
Yeah. Man, I think that's such a... Man, dude, David Fincher's fucking Punisher would be wild. Yeah. I'm just thinking about that now, and it's kind of like
Brad Pitt as the Punisher.
Holy shit.
I would bring back John Bernthal. There's a couple of actors that I would bring back from the Netflix series. It'd be like John Bernthal, Charlie Cox, and Vincent D'Onofrio. Like, I feel like they should all just come back.
I just feel like, don't get me wrong, I like Barenthal, and I thought he did a great job. I just feel like Barenthal, Thomas Jane, like, I feel like they kind of can play the character a little bit the same, and I think I'm interested to see if Pitt would do something a little different.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, you know who might be kind of cool is Clive Owen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he could be cool.
He's got a little bit of that, like, that a little bit of that, just like, ooh, you're right on the edge of a, right on the edge of being a safe guy.
I think Andrew Lincoln might be interesting.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I keep going back to this Walking Dead thing.
Well, I'm super excited, boys. I think this is going to be a really fun month. And if you've made it this far into the episode, we'll also tell you that you are going to be getting a dose of fun Star Wars stuff on our channel this month. And just stay tuned. You'll be surprised. And yeah, we're really stoked to dive in. You know, stay tuned to the Instagram for pin drop news. And Cisco, where can the people find you at home?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Cisco Kid with 2D77.
Nice. Steve, where can the people find you?
You can find me at Rex Manning on Twitter, and you can find me on Letterboxd, where I rate everything I watch.
You can find me at Alex_Backus on Twitter or at Alex Backus on Instagram. And with that being said, guys, we'll see you next time on BSR. Later.
What's up, guys? I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar.
Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with a little baby shit like that.